Turning back toward the incendiary barrel, I figured I'd look for another door. Aw, shit. I had tracked back in the direction that I'd dragged the barrel, and there was a trail of tiny flames where the methanol must have leaked. My immediate thought was how much had leaked from the barrel as it had sat behind the others. When I looked that way, I saw much larger flames flickering from behind the wall of barrels on the corrugated tin. I ran back and could see that the methanol had crept across the concrete to pool in the low space behind the barrels and was now in full, pale blue flame, licking up the walls in undulating waves. As I stood there in disbelief, I could hear the barrels in the back row thumping as the chemical grandson of wood alcohol heated and expanded in an attempt to escape and take me and a portion of the largest city in Montana with it. This was getting serious. My attempt at finding another way of egress took on a bit more urgency. Quickly moving back toward the center, I scanned the walls but couldn't see another door. The walls looked too solid to try to kick a hole in them, and besides, I figured I didn't have time to find a loose panel. I looked up to the roof where there was an elevated ridge vent that ran the length of the building. Some of the screens had come loose and hung from their frames. Glancing at the barrels stacked on either side of me, I was more than a little disappointed to find that the top of the one backed by the flames was the closest to the ridge. Hearing sirens approaching, I calculated my options, figuring the only chance I had was to start climbing, and that right soon, so I did. With a low boil rate of the chemicals, there wouldn't be any small explosion with this stuff. It would just be a quick flash along with a loud whoosh, and 100 square feet would go up like a napalm strike. I scrambled across a few barrels and pulled myself up to another layer of drums, now only about 2 levels from the top. The barrels were full, which provided a stable platform, but which also assured an impending, dramatically explosive death. After clambering onto the top barrel, I reached out for the edge of the elevated ridge, but couldn't quite get to it without committing myself to leaning over the void. All I could hope was that the structure would hold and that my grip would last until I could get my legs through the opening. I could see the flame still glowing behind the barrels along the walls and turned back to the weathered rafters in hope that they'd hold my weight. Otherwise, I would come crashing down a 250-pound catalyst. I stepped off the barrel so that I could grab one of the exposed ridge beams. It seemed stable, so I lifted my legs and stuffed them through the opening, but unfortunately caught my jeans on some loose tin. I hung there. After a moment, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to force my way out like this. The only other thing I could think of doing was to pull back and flip my legs through the opening directly above me, effectively doing a somersault onto the roof. To say that I'm not built for gymnastics would be the grossest of understatements, but I really had no choice. It was either try the somersault or let go and take my chances. I pushed loose, swung back, and then, using the momentum to come forward, flipped my legs through the vent window above. Fortunately, I punched through onto the tin roof, the only problem being that I could feel the majority of my weight resting on the focal point at my hips. I was feeling a little less confident, especially when one of my hands slipped, almost sending me catapulting into the fuming void. Grabbing the beam again, I slid onto the roof, not helped by the amount of water the fire department was shooting up on the metal surface, but grateful the pitch wasn't too steep. I scrambled for the nearest edge, only to find a drop-off. Growling in disgust, I carefully clambered back over the peak and started down the other side where the lights of the building's PD and fire department streaked over every shining surface. There was a fire truck parked closer than the others, and I yelled out to a man trying to be heard over the running engines and cross-radio chatter coming from all the vehicles. "Hey!" He didn't hear me. I spotted a pile of wooden truck skids stacked against the building, slipped to the edge, climbed down, and ran over to the fully suited fireman wearing a captain's insignia and a white helmet. "Hey, there's a wholesale accelerant in that building, and it's going to blow." The short, rotund man glanced at me. "Who the hell are you, and what are you doing over here?" He pointed behind him. "Clear the perimeter. We've got a man inside we're trying to rescue." "I know, I'm that man, and I'm telling you that there's close to 400 barrels of industrial methanol in there." "You're the idiot who was in the building?" "I was till I got out on the roof. Do you have anybody else in there?" "No." He shook his head as he waved at a uniformed patrolman standing back by the gate. "Look, pal, there's no way anybody would store that many barrels of unsecure fuel in a building like that within city limits, so beat it." I saw the shipping manifest, and it said 383 barrels.
"The shipping manifest?"
The fire chief turned to glance at the young patrolman who had just arrived.
"This is the moron who was in the building."
He gripped my arm. "You were with the other individual with the dogs?" I reached into my pocket, which caused him to suddenly go for his sidearm. I froze.
"Hold up there, Wyatt Earp.
Lifting my badge wallet from my pocket, I flipped it open. Walt Longmire, Absaroka County Sheriff, we're the ones who called you, and I'm telling you this building is about to go up like Tunguska, okay? He stared at me, still holding onto my arm. Glancing around, I could see that the rest of the emergency crews were at a minimally safe distance with only these two idiots and me in imminent danger. I figured every second we spent standing there made it more likely that we'd soon be wearing glowing coats of invisible flame or sizzling on the surface of the parking lot like hamburgers on a Weber grill. I stuffed my wallet back into my pocket and did something I knew I was going to regret and punched the cop. I caught him when he bounced off the side of the fire truck and then reached out with my other hand and grabbed the fireman by the collar of his slicker. The emergency crews watched as I approached the gate with the one man over my shoulder and the other who was struggling to get away, all the while screaming, "I want this man arrested!" I got to the gate where there were a few individuals who were of a higher rank. "Hey, guys, you might want to..." That's when it went. And I mean, went. One moment I was standing there, and the next I was lying against the chain-link fence, fortunately turned the other way. The heat was like being stuffed into a hibachi. I rolled over and looked up into the frigid night sky and watched the blue flames undulating, seeming to disappear, though I knew they were still there. Luckily, there was no wind, and the explosion had gone straight up. Unfortunately, sheets of mangled tin and pieces of barrels were now raining down onto the parking lot as I listened to people running for cover. Looking across the pavement, I could see the fire chief's vehicle flaming and smoldering, all the paint having been removed in an instant. He turned to scream at me, "That was a brand new truck!" I thought about punching him, too, just for good measure.